Your Bibles, please, for our second reading to Jeremiah chapter 9. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired Word of God. Oh, that my head were waters, and mine eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. Oh, that I had in the wilderness a lodging place of wayfaring men, that I might leave my people and go from them, for they be all adulterers, an assembly of treacherous men. And they bend their tongues like their bow for lies, but they are not valiant for the truth upon the earth. For they proceed from evil to evil, and they know not me, saith the Lord. Take ye heed, every one, of his neighbor, and trust ye not in any brother. For every brother will utterly supplant, and every neighbor will walk with slanders. And they will deceive every one his neighbor, and will not speak the truth. They have taught their tongue to speak lies, and weary themselves to commit iniquity. Thine habitation is in the midst of deceit. Through deceit they refuse to know me, saith the Lord. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will melt them and try them. For how shall I do for the daughter of my people? Their tongue is as an arrow shot out. It speaketh deceit. One speaketh peaceably to his neighbor with his mouth, but in heart he layeth his weight. Shall I not visit them for these things, saith the Lord? Shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? For the mountains will I take up a weeping and wailing, and for the habitations of the wilderness a lamentation, because they are burned up, so that none can pass through them. Neither can men hear the voice of the cattle, both the fowl and the heavens, and the beast are fled, they are gone. And I will make Jerusalem heaps, and a den of dragons, and I will make the cities of Judah desolate, without an inhabitant. Who is the wise man that may understand this? And who is he to whom the mouth of the Lord hath spoken, that he may declare it? For what the land perisheth and is burned up like a wilderness that none passeth through. And the Lord saith, because they have forsaken my law, which I set before them, and have not obeyed my voice, neither walked therein, but have walked after the imagination of their own heart, and after Baalim, which their fathers taught them. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will feed them, even this people, with wormwood, and give them water of gall to drink. I will scatter them also among the heathen, whom neither they nor their fathers have known, and I will send a sword after them, till I have consumed them. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider ye, and call for the mourning women, that they may come, and send for cunning women, that they may come up wailing for us, and let them make haste, and take up a wailing for us, that our eyes may run down with tears, and our eyelids gush out with waters, for a voice of wailing is heard out of Zion. How are we spoiled? We are greatly confounded, because we have forsaken the land, because our dwellings have cast us out. Yet hear the word of the Lord, O ye women, and let your ear receive the word of his mouth, and teach your daughters wailing, and everyone her neighbor lamentation. For death is come up into our windows, and is entered into our palaces, to cut off the children from without, and the young men from the streets. Speak, thus saith the Lord, even the carcasses of men shall fall as dung upon the open field, and as the handful after the harvestmen, and none shall gather them. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth, for in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will punish all them which are circumcised with the uncircumcised. Egypt and Judah and Edom and the children of Ammon and Moab and all that are in the utmost corners that dwell in the wilderness. For all these nations are uncircumcised, and all the house of Israel are uncircumcised in the heart. May God add His blessing to the reading and the hearing of His most holy word. So here now in chapter 9, in verses 1 through 8, notice that the chapter begins with a discussion of truth and lies. Truth and lies. Jeremiah begins with his, with what we know Jeremiah for, his weeping. Oh, that my head were waters, that I might, and my eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. What are they become? What have they become, this professed people of God? Notice he says that they are adulterers, treacherous liars. Adulterers, treacherous, and liars. Now, I'm going to talk about the adultery here. I disagree with the good Matthew Henry here. I think that what Jeremiah is mostly speaking of here is not a seventh commandment violation, but a first commandment violation. It's that kind of adultery. It's a spiritual adultery. Now, I would agree with Matthew Henry in that we do end up in seventh commandment adultery whenever we throw off the first commandment as well. And that's why the Lord has drawn these things together in His Word. You're my spouse, the Lord says to His people. I am your husband. And to throw off that relationship is also to throw off the rest of solid, godly, human relationship. So we get that. We understand that. So it is important for us to understand that He's going to go on a little bit later in the chapter and He's going to say that they have brought in the worship of Baal. They worship Baalim. This is the adultery that he's talking about. Treachery means that everyone is so very self-interested that they will harm one another to get what they want. Treachery. And then thirdly, they are all liars. Now, I'd like to do something here with regard to this first section. Notice what he says. They bend their tongues like their bow for lies. And so let's keep in mind that lies are injurious. They are like arrows. They are like a bow that is bent. Jesus said what? It's the truth that will make you free, right? And then notice we hear that these lies are bent like bows because telling lies is always injurious. It's harmful. Ninth commandment violations hurt the people you profess to love. When you tell a loved one a lie, you harm them. Now, we want to make sure, however, we understand what he means when he says that they are not valiant for the truth upon the earth. A wonderful Hebrew phrase. The word he uses for valiant is the word gibor, the warrior. They are not warriors for the truth. Rather, everyone speaks lies. Notice the contrast. You can either be a warrior for the truth, or you can bend the bow in the service of lies. So it's a wonderful idiom or a wonderful picture that Jeremiah is drawing here, a wonderful word picture. But when we talk about being valiant for the truth, we're not just saying things like, do two and two make four? Is that true? It's not just a generic understanding of the truth, but it is the application of the Word of God to every area of life. That's the truth that Jeremiah is talking about. They're not valiant for the Word of God as it applies to all of their lives. Rather, they've turned away from it, and this is how injurious it is. They have believed lies instead and are harming one another with the preaching of these lies. That's the point that Jeremiah would make here in verses 1 through 8. Now, this understanding of the truth Notice, thine habitation is in the midst of deceit. Through deceit they refuse to know me, saith the Lord. This is not just generic truth, right? Did such and so arrive at such and so a place at such and so a time? Yes, I can testify to that. That's true. Not that kind of truth. Not truth in that sense, but truth as it regards drawing near to God, hearing what He has to say, and being valiant for His word in the way that we live, in the way that we speak, in the example that we give, in our thoughts, words, and deeds. That's the kind of truth we're talking about here. Their tongue is as an arrow shot out. It speaketh deceit. One speaketh peaceably to his neighbor with his mouth, but in heart he layeth his weight. The other thing that is so very important to see about this, notice what Jeremiah says, "Oh, that I had in the wilderness a lodging place of wayfaring men, that I might leave my people and go from them." Look at Jeremiah's desire here. My people, the people who are the professed people of God, they have become so corrupt that I'd rather live alone in the wilderness, away from the worship of God, away from the public worship, away from Jerusalem, away from all of that. This reminds us, doesn't it, of Lot? I know Lot, there's a lot not to like there. But let's remember what the Apostle Peter said about Lot, that his righteous soul was vexed day by day by the people, the men, the activities of Sodom. Brothers and sisters, if our soul is going to be vexed, shouldn't it be that our soul would be vexed by the ungodly rather than the professed godly? This is a dire circumstance in which Jeremiah finds himself, such that his desire, his holy desire, would be to depart from the professed people of God, even from the public worship of God, because of the lies, the treachery, and spiritual adultery that vexes his soul day by day among the people of God. So that's verses 1 through 8. The Lord then in 9 through 11 says, "Shall I not visit for these things?" Of course, we said last week, that doesn't mean he's coming for tea. He's coming to visit with judgment upon these things. Then in verses 12 through 16, notice how it begins. Who is the wise man that he may understand this? And who is he to whom the mouth of the Lord hath spoken, that he may declare it, for what the land perisheth and is burned up like a wilderness and none passeth through? Who's going to be valiant for the truth is what Jeremiah is asking here. Who's going to be valiant for the truth? They've walked after their own imagination. They have walked after Baalim. And so the Lord says, "I will feed them with wormwood. Give them water of gall, bitterness, that is, to drink. And scatter them among the heathen." Before we are tempted to think that this is an Old Testament construct, that the professed people of God can be forsaken by God, such that they would be brought under such dire judgments as these, let's remember, in those letters to the seven churches in the book of Revelation, that the Lord says, "Unless you repent, I will take my candlestick away, and you will be no church any longer." And where are those churches now? Those churches are now in lands that are held by the enemies of God. And they are no churches any longer. Let's remember that as well. That there is always this kind of understanding that we as a church ought to have together. All right, so then 17 through 22. "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider ye and call for the mourning women." What's the remedy? Like we said earlier, the remedy is repentance. The remedy is not more horses, more medicines, more money, more whatever. The remedy when a people has given themselves over to sinning is repentance from sin. That's the remedy. "For a voice of wailing is heard out of Zion, How are we spoiled? We are greatly confounded because we have forsaken the land, because our dwellings have cast us out. A very important phrase in the history of the people of God. The Lord has already identified himself as the Lord of hosts. What does the Lord of hosts mean? The Lord of armies. Against who? Against his own people. Now notice here, the land has cast us out. Our dwellings, Shekinah, our places of where we dwell, our districts, if you will, have cast. Now, don't think of our homes, our domiciles. Think of our districts, our places of habitation. They've cast us out. Well, what does that remind you of? In Deuteronomy chapter 12, what do we hear? The heathen that lived in this land before you, the land spewed them out for their abominations. Children of Israel, children of Judah, church of Jesus Christ, if we follow the ways of the heathen and do what they do, with the knowledge that the land spewed them out, the land will spew us out as well. We will be spewed out of our inheritance unless we follow after the Lord. This is what Jeremiah is saying here. Your districts have cast you out. The land is spewing you out. You have followed the way of the heathen, and then you will suffer the consequences of the heathen. All right, so then we have the death of the covenant breaker in the end of that section, 17 through 22. Now in verse 23, this is a very famous verse, isn't it? We quote it. Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness and judgment and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. This comes immediately on the heels for call for the mourning women. And so what is it? It's a call for repentance. And your salvation, your deliverance, will not be found in wisdom. It will not be found in might. It will not be found in riches. No, it will be found in your knowledge of the Lord. And by knowledge there, what does he mean? By that intimate and humble knowledge of God, where we receive that knowledge and submit to him and who he is. And that's Jeremiah chapter 9 through verse 24, and then finally in verse 25. He puts the capstone on it by saying what we've already said. All of these other nations, they are uncircumcised in the flesh. The house of Israel is uncircumcised in heart. Therefore, they will die the death of the unbeliever. Remember what we said at the beginning of Jeremiah? Buckle up, we're in for a rough ride. That's what Jeremiah chapter 9 continues with. Let's stand then and continue.